Welcome back, everyone. This is episode 7 of Unbound. I pretend to be sleeping while Aunt Tempe changes into her nightclothes and climbs into bed. When her chest heaves in a steady rhythm and her snores whistling long and slow, I get up. My stomach still rolls, but I take a breath and keep moving toward my plan. I rumple my blanket to look like I'm sleeping and tiptoe through the kitchen into the dining room. My hands is trembling, but feeling my way in the blackness, I open the side table and pull out the small blue doctoring bottle hidden behind Master Allen's brandy. The blue doctoring bottle, what soothes the missus's delicate nerves and helps her sleep. I tiptoe back into the kitchen, ignoring the quivering in my bones. I wrap leftover corn muffins in one napkin and dump half the pepper jar in another. I push away my worries about Aunt Tempe getting blamed for me disappearing or for what's missing in the kitchen and quietly slip out of the big house and into the night. Forgetting the roots and brambles what might trip me and make me fall, I race down the hill and step into the moonlight, what's sheltering Mama's cabin. Mama, I whisper. Mama, wake up. Grace! Her confused and startled cry wakes Uncle Jim, but I hush them both with a shake of my head and the tap of my finger against my lips. Master Allen's planning to sell Tommy and Willie. And you, I whisper, we got to leave. Mama blinks and rubs her eyes, still half asleep, not understanding. Master's selling you and Thomas and Willie. We need to run away. A whisper scream. Tonight, now. We need to run away. Tomorrow, first thing, he's taking you all to the auction block. Mama's eyes widen. You don't just run, Gracie, Uncle Jim says. It's too dangerous. You've got to have a plan. I open the cloth napkin and show my supplies. We'll cover our tracks with pepper. We'll follow the ladle stars.
Gracie, it's not that easy. Folks got to watch for us.
But Master's taking them to the auction block tomorrow.
My babies, Mama yelps, clutching her chest.
Hot shame burns my face. How can I tell her about all my lies and misleadings? How I can't be trusted, and the good Lord knows it. How can I tell her Master Ellen is selling her because the missus wants to teach me my place? How can I tell anyone it's my fault we need to run? Only way to make things better is lead them all away from here. Mama, please, tell Uncle Jim we got to run away. We can't let Master take you. You said so yourself, Uncle Jim. You hear auction and you run. We need to leave. We need to leave now. From the corner of the cabin comes the rustle of straw and a soft whisper. She's right, Aunt Sarah says. Don't matter the reason. We can't let Master take any of you away. Uncle Jim breathes deep. He closes his eyes, but still I see him twitching under his heavy lids.
If we leave now, he finally says, we might make it to Cooper's Swamp before dawn.
I'm staying here, Aunt Sarah said. I'm too old. I'll hold you back.
Uncle Jim is already up and moving.
I'll carry you, he says.
Mama lifts Thomas and gives him a drop from the blue bottle. If we go, we all go, she says. Nobody stays behind. A burning shame shivers through me, and a dizzying fear swirls around my head. What have I done? I push through my muzzy dark feelings. There's no time to think about nothing except running away. Part 2. Like hawk moths skipping from leaf to leaf, a wild frenzy enters the cabin. Rub your feet top and bottom. Everything what fits.
Not so much.
Save some to cover our tracks. Put this on.
Only a drop.
Pepper to throw dogs off our scent. Layers of clothes to guard against brambles. Drops from the blue bottle to keep the boys quiet.
You thought of everything, Aunt Sarah whispers. They can stop our voices from speaking, but they can't stop our brains from thinking.
Shame burns a hole in my stomach. If the missus had stopped my voice from speaking, we wouldn't need to run.
Uncle Jim wraps the supplies I brought in a rag and ties the rag to the walking stick he carved for Sarah. My heart's hammering, and a wobbling sickness rolls over me, but I keep moving. Mama takes Willie, and I take Thomas. Uncle Jim knots their limp arms around our necks and locks their legs round our waists. He lifts Aunt Sarah into his arms. "Light as a goose feather," he whispers. Balancing the walking stick on his shoulder, he looks round the cabin and nods us outside. Mama turns her eyes upward. "May the good Lord be with us." "Amen," we whisper, each in turn, except for Thomas and Willie, already heavy with sleep. We breathe deep and step out of the moon's white circle into the shadow of night. Uncle Jim leads, then comes me and Thomas, Mama and Willie. We move together in a single line, like a lumpy caterpillar what's looking for a place to lie down. My arms already ache with holding, and with every step my braveness drops away like milk in a holy bucket. Mama's behind me, whispering her prayers, and I wonder if the good Lord and his angels is telling her it's my broken promises and haughty words what set Master Allen on sending her and my brothers to the auction block.
"You are nothing but a slave who needs to learn her place," the missus said.
I should have listened to Mama. I should have kept my eyes down and said, "Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am." Aunt Sarah and Uncle Jim warned me. Why didn't I listen? Why didn't I listen to Aunt Tempe, what knows her place, even if the good Lord did make the stars bright and beautiful for everyone? It don't take long to reach the fields and the small swamp where I once covered myself in mud to make my skin brown as Mama's. That seems so long ago, long before I knew about blue doctoring bottles and branded drinks and dishes what come all the way from England. Long before I knew about blindfolds and ladle stars and whippings in the smokehouse. Long before I understood there's some people what's born to rest and some what's born to toil. Beyond the swamp is the woods, deep, dark woods I never dared enter. Deep, dark woods, what's filled with wild animals and evil spirits. House, field, swamp. Deep, dark woods. I'm stepping through the quaggy edges what mark my world and wishing I had minded everybody's warnings. The damp swamp air prickles my face and pinches neath my arms. A branch cracks under my feet. Somewhere above me an owl hoots and a lonesome whippoorwill repeats his same sad warning. What will Master Allen do when he finds we are gone? Will Aunt Tempe and Anna be punished because of me? All my rightiness words have only brought danger to everyone I love. My mouth's parched as dry bone. Fear leaves a trail of tingly bumps and a feeling like I might faint. Must be Mama's angels still holding me up, still helping me carry my load. Uncle Jim keeps us moving deeper into darkness. How's he knowing which way to go? "Uncle Jim," I whisper, "how can you see the ladle stars?"
Uncle Jim stops in a thicket of tall trees and low bushes. "We's not following the stars," he whispers. "We's finding freedom another way."
He puts Aunt Sarah down.
"Woods too deep. Won't make it to Cooper's before sunup. Think I know a hiding spot. Be quicker to find if I go alone."
Uncle Jim tucks us in a ditch and covers us with leafy branches. Thomas whimpers, but don't wake up. "Just hurry," Mama whispers. In the distance, I hear an angry howl. Lest the missus come looking for a cup of tea, it's too soon for dogs to be chasing us.
"Won't be gone long," Uncle Jim says. "Gracie, You take care of your mama.
What would Uncle Jim think if he knew my rattiness was the real reason we was running? Why didn't Master Allen just send me away?
My neck's bent into my chest and my knees folded into my belly, but the pain feels good, 'cause I deserve it. A muddy, dull light sifts through the branches. Morning birds boss away the night with their busy chatter. What's taking Uncle Jim so long? Soon, Master Allen'll be awake. The missus'll be sitting with her silver spoon and fancy dishes what come all the way from England. She'll be waiting for her biscuits while Aunt Tempe explains Grace is still feeling a bit faint. Or will Aunt Tempe tell the truth?
I woke up and Grace was gone. Hardy Grace, what don't know her place and won't keep her mouth shut, has done run away.
Me and Mama is the only ones not sleeping. My lies, misleadings, and broken promises is bumping in my brain, begging me to tell Mama the truth. I'm so worrying about how to tell Mama, I don't notice tiny branches crackling and dry leaves crinkling. I don't notice heavy footsteps coming closer. From the corner of my eye, I see Mama's hands shake and my ears open to a terrifying scramble of heavy, hurrying footsteps pounding and scraping above us. In the distance, I hear a steady, chattering gallop, what makes the earth tremble. A heavy, rhythmic clop, 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 what moves closer and closer. Aunt Sarah opens her eyes. Mama reaches for my hand. The clumping sounds overhead. Clop, 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 swish. A powerful thump and a heavy swoosh. A cackling scream and an anguished howl. Mama squeezes my hand. The galloping fades and the earth stops its trembling. But I don't. Floating between the heavy crackles, we hear a hoarse whisper. We need to hurry. He's only knocked out. My head's drowning in panic and fear. A wild scratching paws the earth. And in one loud, crinkled instant, soft copper daylight floods our narrow, dirt-packed prison. Old George Cooper stands above us, his whiskers blooming in the sun.
Got to hurry, he says. Paddy Roller's on our tail. Could be a renegade, but more'n likely he's got a posse behind him.
Uncle Jim's already reaching down, helping Mama to her feet. Old George Cooper lifts Aunt Sarah and places her on a nearby log.
Stretch your bones, quick, he whispers.
Uncle Jim scoops down and scoops up Thomas and Willie, still heaving in the sleep. Squinting in the sun, I climb myself out. I stretch my neck and shoulders. I shake the fear and tingles from my arms and legs and see what I hoped I'd never see. Curled like a dead skunk on the ground before me is a scraggly, whiskery man wearing a hat and fuzzy, tattered coat, a paddy roller. I know all about the hate paddy rollers carry inside, but I never thought I'd see one curled at my feet. I wonder, did Master Allen send him, or is he the kind what goes prowling on his own all hours, day and night, just looking to cause trouble?
Hurry, Uncle Jim says, handing Willie to old George Cooper and giving Thomas to me. The horse got away, but this lump will be awake soon.
Uncle Jim slips the rifle from the paddy roller's arm and gives it to Mama.
Jim, no,
she says, but he makes her take it anyway. Still holding Willie, old George Cooper unties the rope and vine trap what crossed two trees, lifted the paddy roller off his horse, and thumped him to the ground above us.
Lucky we heard him before he saw us, he says. Now let's hurry.
My mouth's dry and fear's grinding my bones to dust. Is there more paddy rollers out searching? Does Master Allen know? Over and over I hear the missus reminding me,
you are nothing but a slave who needs to learn her place.
Over and over I hear her telling me the folks what I love is all in danger 'cause of me. Old George Cooper leads the way, carrying Willie in one arm and a coil of rope and vine in the other. Mama's next, holding the gun away from her body like a dead squirrel what's got maggots crawling on it. Me and Thomas follow, with Uncle Jim and Aunt Sarah close behind. Old George Cooper brings us to a small stream what rolls cool, clear water.
"Drink quick," he says, filling his canteen. "The hiding cave's just beyond the marsh and round the bend, but we need to hurry. Paddy Roll'll be waking soon. Doubt he'll come looking without his gun, but we don't know if he was a loner."
Tiny fish shimmy through the rocks in the stream while we quick drink and splash our faces. Mama cups her hands with eyes still closed. The boys drink whatever water don't leak through her fingers. I wonder how it feels to be a tiny fish, what flitters and darts so free. I wonder how it feels to be the cool, clear water, what runs without being chased. Old George Cooper hurries us into the marsh. With each step, mud and water ooze between my toes. The swampy smell chokes me. Filmy green strands of grass cling to my legs, and tiny insects pinch my arms. I keep thinking I hear paddy rollers creeping behind us, but the only sounds is our own footfalls and the mournful wail of the dove. Feels strange to be walking outside in the morning without orders from Aunt Tempy. Trees hide some of the light, but still the woods glisten, a beautiful copper yellow. Trembling fear pushes us along, till just round the bend, in a tangle of maypop and nettle, old George Cooper turns and smiles.
"See 'em hanging branches?" he says. "We's almost home."
Fear and guilt still grip my bones, but I'm breathing the faintest scent of freedom, and not all my trembling comes from fear. Home is a cave dug deep in the canebrake, buried neath a bear-sized tree what's lying on its side and covered in a tangle of laurel and pine. Old George Cooper lifts the heavy, sweet-smelling branches. "Welcome," he whispers, like he's holding open the door to the big house. "Step careful." Once we's all inside, old George Cooper steps in front of us and lights a pine torch. In all my imaginings, I never saw a place like this. A few dirt steps down from the openings, a room almost as large as the missus's bedroom. Uncle Jim don't look surprised, but Mama squeals and starts crying like she did first time I sneaked out the big house to see her.
"Go ahead and put the boys down,"
old George Cooper says, nodding to the back corner, where a row of pine log beds is lifted off the ground and covered with old shirts and dresses sewed together to make a quilt. When I put him down, Willie opens his eyes, but he closes them right up when I sit behind him. I look round. Against the wall is a tree-stump table and four chairs. Thomas starts whining and wakes up Willie. They're still too groggy to be wild. But anyway, Aunt Sarah tries keeping them quiet by teaching them how to draw pictures on the dirt floor. Old George Cooper's explaining the hollow pipe, what carries the fireplace smoke underground and into the swamp.
"Paddy roller's always looking for smoke," he says. "Can't be too careful, though I never had one track me here."
Finally, we unwrap our stale muffins, sit at the table or on the floor, and we make our own permission to eat.